Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Beverly Eichmann, author of, well, the book we carry is The Cloning of the American Mind, must reading for anybody who wants to understand how they're collecting dossiers on your children and, of course, indirectly on you, because they ask the child questions about you. Do you have any guns in the house? You know, do your parents have their religion and religious background? And all of this information is being put on dossiers. Doesn't that make you feel comfortable? Beverly, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, if they don't know you, and then how you got interested in the studies that you're doing?
Well, you know, I guess you could say that I started getting interested when I was a teacher in, well, actually before that, when I was a college student studying for my teacher education, you know, taking those courses for teacher education. And I realized that everything in my courses was really aimed at psychology. It was not aimed at whether I understood my major subject, which would be English, very well, or French. And they really didn't care if I excelled in any of those things or whether I could put them over to transmit those, the knowledge, to the children. All they cared about was psychology, adolescent psychology, educational psychology, child psychology, and it went on and on like that. And I finally realized that education and schooling were not about proficiency at anything. They were not about basics. It was about mental health. And that really changed everything. You know, I was only 18 or 19 at the time that this hit me, but it was a big jolt because I had gone to private schools, and that certainly wasn't the thing they were trying to transmit in those days, in the 1950s. And so this was really quite a jolt. They wanted us to relate to so-called be meaningful, et cetera. If I heard that term once, I heard it a million times. So that kind of planted the seeds, if you will. And then when I got in the classroom, that was another jolt, because I encountered seventh and eighth graders who couldn't read. I mean, they couldn't read, they couldn't spell, they couldn't do elementary math, they couldn't do anything. They had been passed one year to another in California, I might add, since you're there. And I was first teaching in Westminster, California, so that's down in Orange County. And that was a real shock to me also. So I started creating my own curricular materials, because the students couldn't read books, that's for sure. And so I started doing what I remembered, and that was certainly not transmitted to me via my teacher education courses, in reading and spelling. And lo and behold, some of the courses that I came up with were adopted by the school district. So I eventually left the profession for fairer fields in Texas, in Houston area.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a few moments here with Beverly Eichmann. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is Beverly Ekman. We're talking about her work on the dossiers that are being built on children, about these method of testing that they have in the schools, which are really not having anything to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic primarily. They're testing the attitudes, values, and beliefs of the children, and many times they're actually indoctrinating them with questions like a 14-year-old, when was the last time you had intimate relations? Why would you be asking a 14-year-old that, giving them the idea that everybody else is doing this sort of thing? Well, this is how you change their attitude. This is how you change their values. This is how you change their beliefs. So Beverly started out as a teacher. She was quite young when she got into the educational profession. She was successful as a teacher, but eventually she became a little disillusioned. Would that be the proper statement?
Oh, yes. I became a technical writer for NASA and changed professions completely and became editor-in-chief of NASA's newspaper, in fact, and was doing scientific writing, even for the astronauts and that kind of a thing, doing astronaut manuals and so on. But then along came an opportunity to get back into education, which, frankly, I never really left mentally. In one of the Texas school districts, and because I was, editor-in-chief at NASA, they thought, oh, this would be the perfect person to head up our English, and so I went back thinking that Texas was more conservative and I might have a better feel for things there, and lo and behold, it was the same old thing, and that was the other shock, because the public school, the government schools, were all doing the same thing. It didn't matter what state you were in. So that was the next thing that came along. And then I realized that they were trying to change the morals and the values of the kids through the testing later on. After I got back to Washington, which is my home, Washington, D.C., which is my home, and happened to be at the right place at the right time to see the right documents, and I was back in it again, after I left it a second time, I was back in it again.
Well, why don't you explain how they do these tests and how they implant ideas in the children's mind through this testing program, which really is a very conscious effort, not only to collect information for dossiers, but to change their attitudes and beliefs?
Well, first of all, the state tests, and that's linked also to the national tests, and you might say they intersperse, sneak in various questions, personal questions about the child.
Hold that thought for just a moment while we pick up our other stations. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Beverly Ekman, and she's telling us about how they sneak questions into these various tests. So go ahead, and why don't you go from there?
Okay. They sneak in these questions that are really very personal. I can give you one example. There's a club at school called the Midnight Artists. They go around painting funny sayings on buildings and windows at night. I would join this club when I knew, A, the most popular students in school had joined the club, B, my parents would ground me if they found out I joined, or C, my best friend taught me into joining the club. Now, you notice there's no choice for I wouldn't join. So this is a fishing expedition. What they're saying basically is this child will join the club under some circumstances. Our job is to find out what circumstances it is that this child will join the club. And there's a preferred answer. Guess what the preferred answer is?
What is the preferred answer?
The most popular students in school had joined the club. And that's the preferred answer because it shows a willingness to conform to group goals.
And that's really what it's all about. They want to do away with individualism. They want, of course, to make us one with the masses. And what they really want is everybody to go along with the the establishment. Basically, don't rock the boat, don't be an individual. I certainly don't hold any absolute values, like it's wrong to paint things with graffiti, because there is nothing really right or wrong. Everything is relative today, because after all, there is no God. So how could anything be absolutely right or absolutely wrong?
That's correct.
Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that's an absolutely fair statement. And, you know, I found out what the preferred answers were through, very convoluted process. They did not want the interpretive literature to this test that I happen to be quoting, the Pennsylvania test, which was the first one I saw. And they were holding that information tighter in the Pentagon Papers, I guarantee. And they didn't want it out. So I found what they were looking for with these questions by surreptitious measures, and or I should say a mother did, and she passed it along to me, and she did it by surreptitious measures. But I found that this was the same case over and over. Sometimes the questions would be, I often wish I were someone else, or I get upset easily at home, and the student's supposed to check, very true of me, mostly true of me, mostly untrue of me, very untrue of me. Another one is, you're asked to sit at a table with retarded students or with someone of a different religion than you or whatever. In this situation, I would feel A, very comfortable, B, comfortable, C, slightly uncomfortable, D, very uncomfortable. So I think you get the picture here of what they're doing with these students. And this is, you know, that those are the real standardized tests that supposedly are academic. You should see the surveys, which are, make no pretense of being academic. It's like the personality assessment inventory, the state straight depression adjective checklist, the Minnesota multiphasic personality inventory, the emotional problem scale, the Reynolds child depression scale, the defense mechanisms inventory, the adolescent coping and depression course. I mean, it goes on and on. These kids are tested, quote unquote, all day long.
All right. Now, what can parents do? Because I think parents have to understand that this is all aimed at changing the child's attitudes, values, and beliefs. Is there anything the parent can do, like saying, I don't want my child to have these tests?
Yes. What I've done is on my website, and I can give you that later, I've put a parental notification form, and I would suggest them downloading that. It's just a letter you should give to your superintendent and your principal right at the beginning of the year, and it lists the things you do not want your child involved in, and I give a lot of different activities beyond testing that are red flag things that you really shouldn't have your child involved in at all, to preclude this sort of testing and a value, putting all this stuff into data banks and so on. And if enough parents do that, the last paragraph says that, you know, gee, I'm really sorry that we have to do this, but for your protection and mine in this day and age, I'm giving a copy of this to my attorney. Now, it only costs $75 to have something on file with your attorney. I mean, that's not much. I mean, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, depending on where you live. But it's nothing that's going to break the bank. And all it says is that the attorney has it on file. And if enough parents do that, that will get the attention of the school district, and they will limit, and really pay attention to the kinds of things that their teachers and their administrators are doing to get this kind of information.
And actually, of course, you send that by certified mail, don't you?
Yes.
So that you
yes.
have a record that they have it. And then if they violate that, why, you can bring serious charges or even sue them. And it's unfortunate, but this is the situation that they put us in, because they really intend to attack the mind of your child. They intend to change their worldview. This is what education is about, not teaching them to read and mathematics, because if that's the purpose, they're doing a terrible job. But if they're trying to change the attitude of our children as far as being students of the world, as far as hating America, I heard a college student say yesterday, all of the founding fathers of America were humanists, well, having nothing to do with any reality at all, but they changed their world perspective. And yep. by doing that, of course, they begin to undermine their belief in America and these ideas of freedom. And of course, they begin to embrace the spirituality of environmentalism. They reject the God of the Bible. They reject the beliefs of their parents. They embrace the beliefs of this movement that's almost like New Age movement, which is so prevalent within our schools. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, yes, definitely. In fact, here is the list. On that interpretive literature that I was talking about a minute ago, of what they are looking for with these crazy questions from your child. They're looking for what is the child's locus of control, and that means where's your child coming from and who controls him, the parents, himself, or some, you know, his peers. Is he externally or intrinsically motivated, meaning other people, or does he motivate himself? Is he amenable to change, which means is he friendly toward change? Will he embrace change, or is he inflexible, which is supposedly a horrible thing? Will he conform to group goals? We've already talked about that. Does he willingly receive stimuli? That means will he soak up everything he hears willingly, or will he put a filter on it? And then will he comply with authority, which sounds good if you don't go any further. But complying with authority is kind of loaded because you realize the authority figure is supposed to be his peers.
All right, and of course, they certainly, in many respects, would tend to undermine belief in America. And that's one reason why they do this, because if you can destroy the child's belief that America is unique and different and worthwhile saving, then when they come into positions of power, they're not going to be interested in saving our form of government. They'll be willing to adopt a new one. What happens to all this information they gather on the children?
Well, as you know, Stan, everything is computerized. I mean, everything. And so all of this information goes into a computerized data bank and is kept for posterity. And, you know, the thing of it is, you cannot prove, even if you want to, that something is purged from a data bank. How are you going to prove that? You can't prove that there's no backup file. And you can't prove that there's no data that's shared with somebody else or with another government agency. And in fact, information sharing is a big deal right now. It's hot. I mean, that's what the government wants to do, is information share, especially since 9/11.
Oh, it's so funny. You go into the doctor's office, and they say, we want you to know about our privacy policy. And it says, you know, we have this government privacy policy, and we can't give you your information to anybody else unless, of course, there's some sort of, except according to law. Well, the law says the federal government can get into all your records. And so what this is really letting you know that they're going to keep dossiers. The government's going to collect information on you, on your health issues, on your financial issues, on everything, all in the name of preserving your privacy. Right. It's exactly the opposite if the American people understood. When they talk about privacy policy, what they really mean is they're going to be watching you more closely, and all goes into the dossiers.
Well, you know that the new idea for airline security is that they were going to color code people, and one color code was going to be a person that is not considered of great risk, and another one medium, and another one, great risk. Okay, well, the one that's not considered of great risk, I mean, how are they going to find that out? Well, they're going to find it out by your past conduct, behavior, all the magazines and newspapers that you subscribe to, the 800 numbers you call. I mean, all of this stuff is going to be cross-matched with each other so that they can get a fix on how people will probably react down the road and to different stimuli, as they technically call it. This is called predictive computer technology. And what the computer does is take all this information and figure out how you will probably react to hot-button issues down the road. Well, this is political. I mean, or this certainly can be political.
Well, I'm very concerned that the former head of NSA, General William Odom, in his book, Fixing Intelligence, asked a series of questions. I mean, should the CIA have assassinations or be carrying out assassinations? Should the CIA have journalists, planted in the media? But I think the point that was so apropos, should the Department of Defense be keeping dossiers on American citizens? I think that's a very good question every one of you out there should begin asking. If you like the references, we'll give it. We'll be right back with Beverly. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians. They still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become
leading
their
edge
enemy
dentists
and destroy
know the
them.
Profound
well,
effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Paradox. The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Just know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time that I need to mention that we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products. And, if you're interested in learning more about them, you can go to our website. Now, we don't make any medical claims, but we will tell you that the people who use these products really swear by them as far as rashes and itching and acne. And some people think that they help their upper and lower gastrointestinal tract. Certainly, some people with heartburn swear by the products. All we can do is suggest you try them and see if they'll work for you. If you'd like to know more, give us a call and get an introductory offer to the Miracle 2 products at 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Beverly Ickman, and we're talking about the dossiers that are being collected, the information that's being collected on your children, and how these tests are used to shape their attitudes as well as test them. Beverly, you were saying earlier that they have the tests and then they have the surveys. Now, do all schools actually have these on the children, and does anybody ever bother to check and look into the implications of the impact of some of these questions on the minds of the children?
Researchers are certainly, but for reasons unknown to me, it doesn't seem to bother government or the administrators or anybody else at all. In fact, you have to be careful even if you're sending your child to a private school, because if they accept federal money, and let's face it, they are encouraged to accept federal money for something, handicapped students or handicapped bathrooms or libraries or something, then there are strings attached. And those strings will come in the form of these tests. And, you know, if they were real tests and they were really substantive tests, you wouldn't worry quite so much. I mean, yes, there's teaching to the test and that kind of a thing, but even so, I think we would be a little bit more acceptant of that. But that's unfortunately not what's going on. That Pennsylvania test that I told you about happened to be 61% personality profile. Now, that's more than half. And so, and some of the others are too. Some are more, some are less. But you still run the risk. And these kinds of information are being transmitted into the workforce. They're going to colleges and universities. A student may never understand why he was turned down for a particular university, but they may have this stuff sitting on their desk. Maybe he didn't answer a particular question in the politically correct, and I say that facetiously because it wouldn't be what we would consider politically correct, but it would be the leftist way probably. But if the child didn't answer it in that way, he may get not get into the college or university of his choice and never know the reason why. They'll simply send a letter that says, gee, we really like you, but we think you would be happier somewhere else.
All right, let's go to Fred, who's calling in from Salinas. Hi, Fred, did you have a question for our guest?
I just wanted to say that I have a doctor in my family up in Oregon who has just switched over to paperless files. They had a very large grant from the government where when you go to the doctor now, all of your files is in the computer. And
Are those files available to the government?
Those files are available to the government at any time.
Yes.
So don't ever tell your doctor the truth, because all that information, if anything of a personal or embarrassing nature might be on there, everybody's going to know it. And that is a frightening thing. But it's all done in the name of our privacy policy.
This is that system that Admiral John Poindexter wanted to set up, and the government said they couldn't do it. And they're just going ahead and doing it anyway.
It really doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter what our elected officials want. There is a force back there that has another agenda. And anybody who's never seen the logo that was on DARPA website under John Poindexter, it is the occult triangle capped by the triangle containing the all-seeing eye of Satan. Why would they put that on their logo? If you haven't read the book, The Cover-Up by Dr. Cuddy, he has that section in there. So I think it's important. Thanks so much, Fred.
What I want to say was it's going ahead right now. So
okay, fine.
Beverly, know it.
Beverly, have a response at all?
Oh, yes. In fact, in my first book, I mentioned the MIB, which is the Medical Information Bureau, and then there was a physician's, can't remember the exact name of the computer program, but the physician's computer database. And then there's another one, too, that I think this gentleman is referring to now. And so all of those are being put together into a large one. I mean, you look at your insurance papers. When you get your insurance paper, it'll say, like, your analysis, and they'll have a little code by it, number 6011 or something. And then a dental procedure, they'll have another little code. All those codes are what's going into the insurance companies and what's being collected by these databases. So, of course, they're cross-referenceable. And when they start saying that what they want to do with prescriptions is to get those so that your pharmacist can advise you as to whether you're going to have medications that maybe don't go with each other or something, what they're actually doing is checking all of your files from various sources and various doctors that will be accessible even by your pharmacist. So, of course, if you're going to be in politics or you're running for school board or something like that...
Beverly, we're going to have to hold that thought right now.
Okay.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention that we carry the Phenopoly set. It's a program designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Phonics is the key to being able to read and read well. So this program, well, in about 16 hours, it can really change the child's perspective. Now, most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600, this is $139.95. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Then I want to mention there's going to be the Conspiracy Conference. It's going to be over in Santa Clara over Memorial Day weekend, the 29th and 30th of May. And you can call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website at conspiracycon.com. There should be some fascinating speakers. Well, Beverly, why don't you pick up your story or your thought right where you left off?
Let's see. I got to remember what it was now. These numbers that are cross-matched in your insurance records are even accessible by your pharmacy. And so if you're running for school board or political office of some kind, what do you think is going to happen? If you're taking, if you have diabetes, that's going to be trotted out at election time. If anything that might embarrass you or you just don't particularly want known, any condition at all, it doesn't have to be something like venereal disease or something. It could just be something you really don't want trotted out all over the place. And that will be right there for everybody to see.
And I think it's rather frightening that in the name of talking about maintaining our privacy, they're doing exactly the opposite. But as so often happens, what we're told is just the 180 degrees opposite from what is really going on. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And in the name of tracking down the terrorists, the wicked terrorists, who incidentally have not struck on America since September 11th, gee, I wonder why not. But in the name of tracking them down, now they're keeping dossiers on every American citizen. And why are they going after law-abiding American citizens who are not Muslims? Oh, well, we just don't want to do racial profiling. We've got to profile everybody. Seems like what they do is profile everybody but the Islamic terrorists. At least it would appear that's what they were doing before September 11th. So, you know, but this really is bothersome, Beverly, because now, of course, they can get information on us as far. They can restrict our ability to fly on airplanes. They can certainly have the opportunity to tap our telephones and read our emails and read our faxes. That's all done by computer, and the computer will tell if you use any bad words, things like that. Really, the computer gives them an opportunity to track literally everybody in America, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does. And what happens is that it establishes trends of political thought. And that is worrisome from the standpoint of future administrations. I mean, even if you want to say, oh, you know, the George Bush administration isn't going to be coming after you in the night, and that's probably true, but you go three or four administrations from now, that's a lot of, you know, well, it's not a very long time in the scheme of things, but it's several years down the road, and most of us are going to be alive yet. And, you know, you can turn this into a political weapon. And this is what we've started. Do we not realize what we have launched here against Americans in the name of trying to be fair to everybody and not profile anybody?
Well, I think we saw even the Bush administration, when Ambassador Wilson said that, you know, the Iraqis were not trying to buy nuclear material in Africa. What did they do? They came after his wife, who worked for the CIA, put her name out publicly, which endangers her life. And she could be killed by the terrorist as a known CIA agent. And the Bush administration did that as a matter of punishment. You are not to disagree with anything that the administration says. I think that's rather frightening, this misuse of power, whether they be a Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, I think we're sort of going down a slippery slope. And while we certainly don't want any more September 11th, and it could maybe be argued that, well, the reason we haven't had any more is that we're being so careful, there's a limit on what you can do to American law-abiding citizens who've never done anything wrong in their life. And it goes against 200 years of our Constitution to do otherwise. And I think you do have to put some safeguards on there, or what's going to happen is people's respect for the law and the Constitution are going to be turned upside down. It's going to turn against the very thing you're trying to save, even under the best of circumstances.
All right. Well, is anything else we should explore as far as the testing of our children, the dossiers that must be collected? And could the information that they collect from the child be used against the parent? What sort of questions are they asking, along that line? Do they ask about, are there guns in the house, things of that sort?
Yes, I've seen questions on that. I've seen questions about abuse, especially, that are very, well, they're very loosey-goosey, to say the least. They could be very open to interpretation. Does your parents believe in spanking? I mean, abuse. There are many ways. Sometimes same question will be asked three or four different ways, so the child doesn't misanswer them, so that you get a true fix on what the child really believes. And then sometimes right on the cover sheets, they will say, what kinds of books or magazines are in your house? And there'll be choices. And if, let's face it, if you subscribe to Catholic Digest and National Review and the Washington Times, and you know, you can go down the list. You can get a really good fix on whether a parent is liberal, conservative, or whatever, and this isn't good news. And what I say sometimes to my audiences when I'm out on the road is, I know sometimes there are liberals in my audience. I mean, it's not always just conservatives. Some of them even come to heckle me. And I say, well, you know, for those of you who like the current administration, I used to say during the Clinton years, and are all for homosexual rights and this, that, and the other, you might want to think about that a little bit, because you're going to be in a computer, too. And should the political winds ever change, you may be the first to go. And you can sort of see, when you look over that sea of faces, some people kind of doing a little of being very uncomfortable all of a sudden.
Well, I think many people who consider themselves very liberal are very concerned, just as you and I, who might be considered by some conservative, are very concerned about the progressive erosion of liberty. I am more concerned about the big group in the middle who really doesn't care, and we want to make them care. Well, let's go to Marilyn, who's calling us from Sacramento. Hi, Marilyn.
Well, hi. I had an experience about 5 years ago. I applied for long-term health care insurance and was declined after a long delay. Anyway, ultimately, my insurance person looked through the file that had been faxed over to him by my health care provider, and they had another woman's medical record in there. About an admission to hospital for Alzheimer's. She had a very long, different name from mine. She also was some bit older than I, but nobody bothered to look at that part. They just looked at the diagnosis. Now, you can get things that don't belong to you in those records.
That's right.
And I would advise all of your listeners to make an appointment with their health care provider and go through their own files, and you will be amazed at what's in there.
All right, fine. Well, I think that the most important thing was just tell them you don't want this shared with anybody.
No, it isn't that. If you want only your own records in there, if they drop somebody else's record into your file, which can happen, that's the problem. And even if, there might have been something bad wrong with me too, but and they would have known that, but it could have been in someone else's file. Who knows?
Oh, okay. What are your thoughts on that, Beverly?
Well, she's absolutely right. And not only that, but if you have a diagnosis for mental illness, that's almost a sure thing against you in any prospective job, or anything else that you might be aiming for in politics or, you know, school board, whatever, and that could get in there by mistake or by somebody deliberately playing around with your files. Don't forget there's also data launderers who go in and hack into these files and put something there that doesn't belong deliberately to damage you. And there's one other little thing, wrinkle on what she was saying, too. The student never gets a chance to change his mind. I mean, because an opinion is put in such a way, that may well be what the student thought at 14 or 15, but he may change his mind totally by the time he's 21. Well, that's too bad. It's still in the computer.
Well, you should ask to look at the records that they have on your student file, too. I did that when my kids were in school, and that was a big surprise.
Okay. Anything else, Marilyn?
No, that's all.
All right, thanks so much for calling, and I think that's a good point. And certainly, Beverly, what happens if they get the wrong information into this child's dossier? That's going to be with them forever as well.
It is, unless you can, you're going to have a long civil suit on your hands. It's going to be up to you, and you're going to have to spend the money to get that changed.
But how do you even know what's in the dossier? See, that's the thing. These are all secret. You don't have ready access to the information the government is collecting on you or your children.
Well,
that is what's so frightening.
Some you don't. It's like that woman said. She got into her file. And yes, you can see some of your files, but you're absolutely right that sometimes things can be hidden from you if they're if the person at the helm isn't particularly it has been told to do so.
Well, now, what about the testing on your child? For instance, we know now it is a federal crime for anybody to see a NAEP test, for anybody to discuss what's on this national assessment test. So you're not going to have access to your child, what happens on the federal government's test of your child. And can you even get into the state files? And you don't even know how those tests are supposed to be graded or what the questions are supposed to mean. But can you go and say, I want to see everything you have on my child in a computer file?
No. That's true. No. Now, the medical records, yes. And some of the other things that the child takes, yes. But you're right. These are kept from the public, and they've talked most of the state legislatures into exempting them from Freedom of Information Act. So you're not going to get that.
Now, why would they be afraid for the parent to know what information they're collecting on their children?
Isn't that interesting? You tell me.
Well, I think it's really rather frightening that it is now a federal crime to even discuss what is on this federal assessment test. And you cannot tell anybody if you've seen the test and what the questions are. And I think that's really rather scary, since most of those questions have nothing to do with academic achievement. It all has to do with values, attitudes, and beliefs.
Well, that's why they don't want you to see them. In fact, the lady that saw the Pennsylvania test, she did it because she got wind from her son of the kind of questions that were on it, and she went up to her principal and so forth, and of course she was told she couldn't see it. And finally, she made such a pain of herself that at the state education headquarters, that she went up to Harrisburg, the state capitol, and was allowed to see a test. And they told her, you can't bring anything in the room, you can't write anything down, you can't Xerox anything, you can just look at it. And she did, and she looked at some of these questions, and she realized what she was seeing, but she noticed a little code next to many of the questions, and what the people there looking her over didn't know was that she had a photographic memory. She walked out with it in her head. And so when she got home, she remembered some of the codes with some of the questions, looked at it, and sure enough, it was linked to a curricular program that went into the schools. So to try to change the kids' attitudes. So this, and they were paid for with federal funds. So she got them. But still, it went on. You know, after that flap was over, they swept under the rug and kept doing what they were doing.
Well, the only way it's going to change is if parents really care enough about their children and enough about our country to become involved. And they really need to go to your website, and you didn't tell us your website, so let's let them know how to get your material and how to utilize this and how to get it into the schools, and let the schools know that we don't like what they're doing.
It's www.beverlye.com. That's B-E-V-E-R-L-Y with an extra E on it, .com.
Okay, that's beverlye.com, and what can they get on your website?
Well, they can get my position statement. They can get a link to a lot of different publications, things that have appeared in national magazines and newspapers. A month after it appears, I put them up there, and they can get links to some other organizations that can help them with things. They can get my parent notification form. They can download the letter that I say should be sent to a lot of your superintendents and your principals, and get others to do it too, because there's strength in numbers there. If a lot of people are turning this over to their attorney and keeping it on file with their attorney, hopefully the same attorney, that would be even better, then that would certainly give the administrators pause. And there's events where I'm going to be speaking.
All right. How can people find that? That will be on your website?
Yeah. That's under current events, and then others are archived. Past events are archived so that they can see where I've been, where I've already spoken, and that kind of a thing, and some contact names. I always put the host's contact name so that If they want me to speak again or something like that, they would have somebody that they could talk to about that.
All right, fine. Well, we've just got a couple of minutes now before we have to let you go. And incidentally, Beverly has written a wonderful book. It's called The Cloning of the American Mind. That's Cloning of the American Mind. And we carry the book. We recommend it to you. It's a great big, what is that, maybe 400 or 500 pages?
600 pages.
It's a great
everything's
book.
Documented.
All right. And it really is a great source of information to help you out there in the listening audience. So what are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I think they need to be aware that education is not about basics and it's not about proficiency at anything, that it is about teamwork and a bunch of things that are not related to actual educational goals or substantive goals or substantive learning. It's not about knowledge. It's about changing attitudes, promoting values, everything from sex ed to conflict resolution, and then they need to get their children, if possible, out of the government schools. Now, I know some people are not cut out for homeschooling. If you are cut out for it, if you think you could make a go of it, and there's a lot of places that can help you now, then by all means do so. But if you're not, then, you know, start looking at the private schools, even if you have to, boarding school, I hate to say that one, but it would be better than a government school, because at this point the government schools have become really dangerous places to be physically as well as mentally and emotionally.
And they will, if they have the opportunity, change the child's attitude towards God and family and country. Our guest has been Beverly Ekman, and of course, if you'd like to get her material, it's beverlye.org or com?
Com.
Beverlye.com. Thanks so very much for being with us, Beverly.
My pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention that we are going to have a conference here in the Monterey Bay area. That's on the 6th of November. Now, I know that's quite a ways away, but I just hope you'll mark that on your calendar, and we've had it for the last 2 years out at the Aptos Seascape, and we're going to have it there again, and we do hope that many of you here in the Monterey Bay area will set that time aside. We promise to have a good program for you, an opportunity to meet local people who are as concerned about what's going on, and an excellent battery of speakers. So remember, that's November 6th, and it'll be at the Aptos Skiscape. And if you want more information, you just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we want to mention the Institute of the Constitution. This is a wonderful program that will teach you and your children and your family. It will teach the people in your church, your neighborhood, about the most carefully kept secret, and that is that up until 50 years ago, everybody in this country, everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation. And then the wicked people who are intent upon changing this country, destroying belief in this nation, destroying belief in our founding fathers, destroying belief in our way of life, and replacing it with a new world order and a new world religion, set out to take over the textbooks, to rewrite the textbooks in the Encyclopedia Britannica. People who don't believe that need to get our book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. That's Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And you'll get an amazing story of how they have altered the way we look at things. But if you want to learn about getting the information from the Institute on the Constitution, call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And ask for a kit. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I do want to comment that I will be speaking Wednesday evening in the Orange County area at the Freedom Forum. I'll be speaking Thursday evening this week at the Republic Forum in Tarzana. If you need more information, how to get hold of the information on where these talks are going to be, why don't you just call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you're living in Southern California, you would like to come to either the talk on Wednesday evening, that's the 5th in Orange County, or Thursday evening in Tarzana, and hope to see you there. And then we certainly want to encourage our listeners out there to think seriously about joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because we are reaching out 5 hours every single weekday to 35 stations on the weekend, about 60 outlets in all every single week. And people are hearing the news that they're not going to get elsewhere, because there is a control over the major media and ultimately then over what the American people think. So if you'd like, of course, to get more information about Radio Liberty, you can go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a free copy of our March newsletter, we'd be glad to send it. And if you have any question why we are really in Iraq, if you think that maybe we're being lied to, I suggest that you ask for a free copy of our March newsletter. And there you'll find what they were talking about at the secret cabinet meetings in January and February of 2001. That's 8 to 9 months, or 7 to 8 months, before the 9/11 attack, as the Bush administration first took control of the government. And you'll be shocked and horrified to think, to learn what they talked about at those cabinet meetings. We simply quote from Paul O'Neill's book, The Price of Loyalty. He was the Secretary of the Treasury. His book has been attacked, but nobody has ever told you what's in the book. It's the old idea, if you don't like the message and you don't want the message out, you attack the messenger, and that way nobody will ever look at the message. Well, we're going to tell you the message. Not only that, we're going to tell you what Lieutenant General Odom, former head of NSA, the most secret of all the secret intelligence agencies, said in his book, The Fixing Intelligence. That's Fixing Intelligence. But you'll want to get the newsletter. You can get it either by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927, or certainly by going to our website at radioliberty.com. We do hope you'll want to get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, going into the background of the people who really run the world. You can get the book by itself or with a video and an audio tape. The book, the video, the audio tape for $29.95. A great deal, and we want you to copy the video and the audio tape and get the message out across America. We also have, of course, the video, Iraq, the Untold Story, comes with a syllabus that will give you the background of all the wars of the last century were contrived. You need to get in the background of who financed Adolf Hitler. Remember, he came to power in 1933, and yet by 1938 he was challenging all the nations of Europe. How did he get the power to do that? Where did the money come from? Well, you'll be amazed and shocked if you get into the background of who financed Adolf Hitler, who encouraged Adolf Hitler, who told him to take Alsace-Lorraine, who told him to take Austria, who told him to take the Sudetenland. It's all there, both in our talk and the documentation in the syllabus from the source who is actually Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. You'll want to get this information. You'll want to help us get it out across America. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle 7 days a week. So until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you again, hopefully, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.